Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Awakening, part of the Converging Flow. You're listening to A Bit of Sunrise by Thunderbeam from our ancient sun, Stevie. And I'm Michelle Mache, your host and fellow traveler on the path. I love that call. Befitting our guests for today also, by the way, Awakenings is an interactive live internet radio program that focuses on grounding the spiritual process of awakening. Awakenings is part of the Converging Flow. It's the place to connect up with like-minded individuals. Awakenings also hosts dialogues and interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors, and conscious beings of all walks of life that are integrating this awakened state into their everyday lives. Awakenings reflects the bridging point between science and spirituality. Awakenings is a timely relaying of essential information, insight, and tools for transformation and spiritual unfoldment. New thoughts are needed, new thought forms, new forms of creativity. Are you answering the call? That's what I want to know. It's befitting that today we're playing a bit of Ancient Sun because we're going to have a wonderful guest on today that is very dialed in. You may notice that there's some deeper truths that are surfacing or resurfacing. Now, they've always been there. Those of you that are major metaphysicians are kind of old school in the sense, and I don't mean old paradigm, but old school. Some of the stuff that we've been talking about, you may know. Most information was really passed on hermetically, what we call from lip to ear, or in rather obscure books, and you had to kind of figure out. And part of it was, yes, to mask some things that perhaps it was seen that people couldn't be able to handle, or concepts. Sometimes the deeper concepts aren't easy to grasp, or even if they're right in front of you, you don't necessarily see them because you're not yet at that state of consciousness or that awareness. I know, like the saying that Einstein says, that you need a different mindset to outgrow a certain situation or perceived problem in the present. So as there's more shifting and more conscious awareness, as these awakenings, this succession of awakenings continue to happen, what happens in the field, or the resonant field, if you will, or the morphogenic field, this awareness is more infused in everyone and everything. And what that begins to do is make these more expanded concepts, especially going beyond the dual plane or polarity plane, more understandable, more integratable, more assimilable, and more livable. So we're going to be diving into that today with our guest, and I'm going to see if that is actually him on the line. Hello and welcome to the program. You're on Awakening.
Oh, hello, hello, Michelle. How are you? How are you?
Oh,
how is
Kimmett.
Everything?
Oh, absolutely
yes.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Oh.
I was hoping that was you. I didn't know that.
Yes, it is me.
What a wonderful synchronistic connection. How this came to be, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, I think these things, it's sort of like, you know, you can't really explain them so well, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you know what I'm finding, and let me do an introduction for our listeners. And, you know, in a sense that I would say, and I must have on some dimension lived through the time of Blavatsky and Picasso and even Frida Kahlo and all, you know, all the wonderful artists and metaphysicians and scientists that would get together and have the salon, right?
Yeah.
I'm co-creating that now, Kimmett.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway,
wow.
Those of you that are tuning in, and let me give a little bit of an intro here, as well as if you've surfed in or tuned in, you're listening to Awakenings. And if you would like to call in with questions or comments or feedback, you can call in at 347-539-5122. And we are on the air live with Kimmett Prince and found Ralph. Now, which name do you prefer? His given name, I suppose, on a different level, is Ralph Okrafo Smart or Prince.
And you can call me Kimmett Prince.
Okay, Kimmett Prince, perfect.
Yeah.
And
no name, it doesn't matter.
Or no, you can just throw a Prince on us and go no name.
Yeah. Call me what you want.
Right. Yeah. Brother in kind, how's that? Aware,
okay, yes.
Yes, aware light being, radiant light being, spiritual being.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Nutritionist. And actually, Kimmett, for our listeners, if you would, share just a little bit about your background and how you came to be giving these, creating, or co-creating these informational videos, which can be seen on YouTube at Kimmett Prince. So for you YouTubers, if you just go to Kimmett Prince, and that's K-E-M-E-T-P-R-I-N-C-E. You can get a download of some amazing information. So how did this unfold to you? Maybe you can talk to us a little bit about your awakening.
Yeah, sure. I was born in London. Yes, mm-hmm. London, England. And, you know, I was raised in a very loving background, you know, wonderful family, you know. I was raised in the church and... yeah, I had a pretty normal childhood, you know, celebrating Christmas and all this, you know, what most people go through. And then I went to Sierra Leone for a year, which is where my mom comes from, which is in West Africa. And I went to school for a year there. Anyway, to cut a long story short, then I went to university. And then during university, I was studying psychology and criminology, which is a bit ironic anyway, but...
it's very ironic to what your videos. How did you get to psychology and criminology? Is that your inquiring mind? Is your inquisitive mind?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always just been interested in, you know, everything around me, really. So I think psychology is probably the only thing I could do anyway because it's sort of, you know, I've got a very abstract mind, you know, in how I perceive things. So... basically, when I finished my degree, you know, I felt very ill, you know, because I put myself under so much pressure just to get the exams finished. And basically, I was hospitalized for 1 month, really, you know, due to basically I couldn't even function properly. I don't really know what happened, but now when I look back, it was actually, I think I was, you know, being, you know, metamorphosizing into something else, you know, just being basically reborn. And, you know, sometimes you need to have a breakdown to have a breakthrough, you know, so
and
I think that's
happen,
what...
How did this look? How did this transpire?
Basically, you know, I was just started asking questions, really, you know, just
when
about
you said
reality.
The breakdown to breakthrough, what, did you just start asking questions from that point?
No, but basically, I wasn't really listening to my body, basically. You know, I was just saying, okay, I have to work, I have to do this, I have to do that. But deep down, there was something far deeper than that, really. I think it's weird because after I came out of hospital, it was almost like I was a new person. So I think that, you know, I had to actually go through what I went through just to basically be re-energized into something else, you know, into a new awareness, you know, about what is reality. Because, I mean, when all that happened, after it happened anyway, you know, I started saying, okay, you know, what's this all about? You know, I mean, I was doing
well,
it before
that. It does
happen
like
well.
That where you get, where you do have some type of breakdown or breakthrough to go deeper within. You know, and shamanically we call it a spiritual emergence, but it can be it can turn into a spiritual emergency. You know,
yeah,
and
definitely.
The thing is, in our society, we don't necessarily have the space for that. The indigenous cultures do, Aboriginal cultures do. We have a space for the initiate,
yeah.
You know, and here in the Western world, it's kind of like, okay, go.
Yeah,
it's
I know what you mean.
It's like a, right? It's like a,
you know, it's almost like we're machines, basically, you know, and we're programmed to function so mechanically that, you know, you have to go to work, you have to do this. There's so many different programs, and the thing is, people haven't got time to start questioning reality until something happens. You know, that's the only time you look in the mirror and say, you know, who am I? What the hell am I doing? You know, until then, you're just the walking clone, basically.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
that waking up.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So what was your process? How did you start asking or tuning within? Was it through meditation? How did that begin for you?
Okay, basically, it did begin with diet, first of all. I think, you know, I was raised like most of us, you know, eating chicken and, you know, eating, you know, meat, basically. And I have nothing against it, but I realized that, you know, when I was just going through that stage after I'd come out, you know, of hospital and everything else, even it was a bit before that, I was sort of saying, okay, you know, I have to start looking at my diet, really, because the foods I was eating, you know, I realized they were basically sluggish foods, low vibrational foods, you know. And it's weird because once I changed my diet, you know, I realized that, you know, it basically laid the platform for what was to come. You know, it just basically gave me a clear mind, and it was almost like a portal, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the be-all and end-all, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it definitely, for me, it was something which can give me a clear mind to actually think, okay, let me ask some questions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's interesting how you get the call, and we do have a caller on the air. We'll get there, two calls in a minute here. Evolution Muse is saying, I would beg to differ about ritual in the West. Well, I'm talking about alternative perspective consists of urban ritual is what I've called it. Yes, but I'm talking about mainstream consciousness. I'm not talking about, obviously I've gone through some major initiations in my path, and I'm from the West. but we don't, as far as us as a collective culture, a humanity, we don't have the space for that. It's really still on the fringe, unless you're talking about birthdays or Christmas, you know, or Easter, or, you know, a quinceañera when someone turns 15. You know, we do have certain rituals, but some of these deeper spiritual rituals are not as well integrated into mainstream consciousness. So,
they're definitely not, but I think they're about to be, because the thing is, I mean, basically there's a global awakening. I mean, this is not really a conspiracy theory. I mean, you just have to walk around and people, you can sense, even people that aren't really conscious, you know, they can sense, you know, the energy vibration, you know, something is definitely changing. You know, so
right.
with all that said, I think that people are waking up to something. They don't know what it is, but everybody is changing. You know, so the thing is, you know, we've got the New Age movement, and I always say to people, be careful, because the thing is, once you enter one matrix and you get out of it, you can be placed into another matrix. So the thing is, it's sort of like there's so many levels to this, you know, and the thing is, people basically have to, you know, be free of gurus, you know, be free of all authority, basically, you know, and claim their sovereignty.
Yes. Well, the guru is in. That's what the Aquarian age, or the light age, the age of light, which is the age of enlightenment, waking up that you already enlightened. Let's get Kemet Prince. Let's get Evolution Muses. She's burning up the switchboard.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. 510-355. You're on the program.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you.
Hi. Yeah, if you could speak up a little bit, sweetie, or your headset, because we can hardly hear you.
How's this?
Oh, good. And you're on
okay.
with Kemet Prince.
Hi, Kemet Prince. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. Or afternoon, wherever you may be.
Evening.
evening.
Okay.
We're on a lot of different time zones.
Different time scales. Yeah, definitely.
And reality
here. That's the perfect analogy for, I think, what I wanted to just add, and it's, you know, is that there are so many frequencies and wavelengths and patterns and orbits, and I think I'm just speaking from the perspective of, you know, my experience. I mean, I'm young, and I felt like even though it wasn't in the mainstream as far as the collective consciousness of society went, there was still this element or this rhythm of
Absolutely.
An urban ritual or a process that people were undergoing, even if they couldn't pinpoint it and relate it back to a specific leader or guru or, you know, head of the system. It was as if, you know, we didn't know what we were going through, but individually something was being shaken up. And I guess I've coined the term urban ritual. And even though it hasn't been mainstream, as far as, you know, in the public eye, you know, put on a pedestal as far as what mainstream has been there to do, it has still existed.
Absolutely.
And it's
and
definitely,
by the way, if I
definitely
can
coming.
Yeah, we're meant to ground it. Those people that have been listening to Awakenings from the Beginning and the workshops that I've been doing around the world, I keep saying, do you have new form? We need new forms, not just material forms, but out of this vibration that, and we're only talking about third, fourth, fifth dimension here, density, because I agree with you. We're already this and living this. That's why people have a familiarity to it. Some people fear it,
right.
But some people go, wow, it's like coming home, right?
I mean, what I always say as well is, I mean, like you just said, I mean, there's so many dimensions to this. I mean, the thing about 2012 is that, I mean, what is time? I mean, the thing is, how old are you? You know, everybody is on a totally different, you know, evolutionary scale, you know. So the thing is, you know, I don't even know where you are vibrationally, you know. I mean, how high your consciousness is. So the thing is, it's not like everybody's going to wake up to the same level because, you know, nature, everything is unique, you see. So the thing is,
right.
It's sort of like, you know, this is not going to be like a fairy tale, you know. People have to really wake up and realize that, you know, this is not really a utopian dream, like, you know, on the 21st of December or whatever, everything is going to be rosy and merry, you know, because there's still deep, deep things within human beings that we haven't individually faced within ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's why I called in today, because just as, you know, you keep saying we need to have a reforming of the way we view the paradigm, the way we relate to it. And I guess for me that's found in my language, the way I speak of it, and the way I relate to it, if not in the past, from now on. So that, you know, just as the brother just said, it's not a fairy tale thing. If we begin to speak of this as an everyday occurrence, even with regard to the past, not knowing that we were, you know, embarking upon those rituals and those initiations in our personal lives.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, what is needed, and that's part of the, if you will, light workers or the seeds the atom or the atom, A-T-O-M or A-D-A-M, are the seeding, and you see this now in all walks of life, whether, you know, a scientist, a secretary, a teacher, you know, a student, that are being decoded sooner, let's say. Their timing is a little sooner. They're in specific areas to bring that new consciousness or allow that new consciousness to be there. And so you will see forms that reflect this, just like we have forms in the world now that reflect the older, not that it's bad, it's just a different consciousness, a different reflection. Just like people now, instead of using a typewriter, or some you still do, I mean, a lot of law firms use a typewriter for specific documents, but most people use a computer. So the new consciousness is infused in the new form so that we use these things. You know, like we don't, most people don't use lead paint anymore. They have a different type of paint. Or you don't use lead dishes. So that what I say when the forms is that in the evolutionary process, and I find it exciting, actually, because what it is as the not only the old vibrational frequency is shifting and expanding into more the truth of who we are, that is creating new thought forms, and those new thought forms are giving rise to new ideas that we are all birthing. So I look at this as an, don't you too, Kemet Prince? This is an amazing time of opportunity. Look at it. All the innovations. From how I found Kemet Prince, these amazing visual meditations and audio information on his YouTube site. You know, books will still be here, but you're going to see there's going to be more information because the frequency is getting more and more expanded and speeding up, that we're able to assimilate more.
Definitely.
Right? You're going to see more ebooks, more videos, more shows like this.
Oh, definitely. I totally agree with you.
I definitely
agree with you, because the thing is, it's sort of like there's so much information available, and people definitely have to make use of it. Because the thing is, I think that a lot of people are saying, there's too much information, but you have to use it, because the thing is, we don't know how long we've got it till. So the thing is, the best thing to do is share with people and talk with people like minds, and then just see where you can grow from there, But another thing people have to be wary of as well is that sometimes too much information, it can flood people. That's why it's sort of a turnoff. And the thing is, with this whole new age that we're living in, people have to also be wary that, where is this information coming from?
Yes.
You see what I mean? Because the thing is, you can find any piece of information within your DNA. So the thing is, you don't even need a machine like a computer for the internet to connect to people. You are the internet.
That's right.
Exactly.
So the thing is, once people focus on machines, if they're not careful, they might actually isolate themselves. And the thing is, they have to always go back to themselves, because you are the internet. You can do so many things with your amazing body that, if you don't actually take time to study yourself, we would never know, I mean, the thing is,
well, I like
the technology.
What Evolution put in the chat, and you're still on the air, Evolution. The intuition tells you the truth. And this is why I'm going to go back, and I say this all the time on my show, this is why you have to do emotional clearing or clear the belief, so that you can get to the intuition and know what the truth is for you, because it may not be the same truth for someone else. It could be a little truth,
There's no truth until you decide what the truth is.
That's right. Exactly, because we have many games going on. We have many parties at this, in the universe. Well, and I look at the four, and it's interesting, because as we are becoming less attached to form, and we'll still play with form, obviously, but we're moving more and more into the formlessness. Obviously, the computer or the networking system, that's all a reflection of, if you want to say, divine mind or universal mind or the all that is. These are just extensions. Right? And what you'll find is that as certain forms and even thought forms, if certain thought forms or beliefs are no longer needed, or certain feelings or sensings are no longer needed, they will not manifest in physical form. We will no longer have those situations that are no longer in a certain evolutionary or vibratory frequency and experience. So, but we still are playing with the form, right? We're still, you know, physical here, even as apply a light more to the Merkaba. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting what you're saying, and I'm really interested to hear you talk more, Kemet Prince, about the lack of a need for gurus in the coming times and raising one's, you know, intuitive level and doing the clearing, the emotional clearing, so that you can access your intuitive state. And what I'm hearing is, I guess, what I've been studying about through astrology, you know, going from Saturn, which is the form in the old paradigm, through Chiron, which is the dark place of the wound, which is the times we're in right now with Chiron in Aquarius, and into the Uranian higher consciousness or universal mind. And that dark space right on the bridge is, you know, where we're in limbo, I think, collectively. And that's the scary place. You know, everyone talks about 2012 and da-da-da-da. The thing I think of with 2012 is, like, it's going to be a huge transparent mirror.
Yeah.
But,
you know, but if I can insert something here, it's interesting. I wrote, the dark space is the negrita, or the material, materica, the prima materia. It's the matter. It's the womb. It's the mother principle. It's the feminine.
Yes.
So. Right? So people are fearing the feminine. The
That's right.
Right?
Oh, definitely. I mean,
and that dark space is also where the transmutation and the rebirthing occurs, you know.
Yes.
It's the deepest wound and the greatest gift. It takes you and reconnects you through that physical, you know, that intense pressure and pain, just like in the birthing process or an initiation. It connects you instantly back to the continuity, the continuum.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, I think it's also about, you know, women reclaiming back their femininity, you know. I mean, the thing is, it's sort of like, you know, the feminine energy has basically been killed off, you know. And the thing is, that's why there's such an imbalance within the universe, because the thing is, you know, the women want to be men now. You know, and the thing is, because of that, there's such an imbalance. And the thing is, when you have such an imbalance, there's only chaos. You know, I mean, regarding your question to gurus, I mean, I'll just leave you with a quote by Krishnamurti. He said, you know, life is an extraordinary mystery. You know, not the mystery that people talk about, not the mystery that you read in books, but a mystery one has to discover for oneself. So I think that, you know, people always have to be free from a guru, because the thing is, once you praise someone, they become your nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking of that person constantly. And not only that, people as well have to be, people that preach to people and lead people somewhere also have to be careful for themselves, because when you do that, what happens is that, you know, the ego is always searching for gratification. It wants to be, you know, the ego wants to be physical. The ego is the physical. To become formless, you have to get rid of the ego, which is very difficult. Because the thing is, you know, the ego wants to be, you know, it wants to be so aware of itself that it is what it is. You know, the ego creates a separation.
I think we have to redirect the ego. I would beg to differ and say getting rid of the ego is not necessary. Just like destroying all the buildings isn't necessary.
I agree.
We just need to tweak the form. We need to tweak the way that the ego has been structured, which thereby tweaks the way the energy flows within it.
It's true, but I mean, if you look at a child, I mean, I always say a child just sees, because the thing is, a child looks at you, it just sees. You see what I'm trying to say? It doesn't see, okay, you're from America, you know, okay, you're 28, or you're this, no, it just sees what it is. So the thing is, what I'm trying to say with the ego, it's not to get rid of it, but what it is to do is, because the ego creates separation. You say, I'm this person.
Well, let's jump in here a second, because we are here to separate out. We're all one, right? But we're the individuated aspect that we are. We are here to live out or experience our individuated aspect of the all that is, or our individual emanation.
Oh.
And on a soul level, what the ego personality is, it's an extension of the soul or the individual soul, you know, out of the collective soul. So I think when people give the ego a bad rap, it's really the constructed ego or the false ego. But we are meant to kind of sing our own song here.
Definitely. I mean, you need, I always say you need resonance, you know, see. I mean, the thing is, I always say, you know, nothing is good or bad, you know, because everything works for the third entity. Basically, you know, people are always saying, oh, that person's bad. They need to wake up. They don't need to do anything. What happens is that because you're not actually resonating with their vibration, you won't have an affinity with them. That's why you say, okay, you know, they're no good. But the thing is, it's not a question of good or bad, you see. I mean, the universe is so beyond our small, petty mind, you know, that we think, oh, that's not moral. But, I mean, the universe is light years. It doesn't even see our concepts as anything, you know, nothing. Because the thing is, our mind is too small, you know, to conceive, basically, the vastness of this whole thing.
Yeah, well, on this dimension, right?
On this dimension.
I know my, the oversouls that I work with, or spiritual, if you will, hierarchy, have suggested to not, because again, we create by our language, and I love what Evolution was saying about making the change to the language. So I was made aware, and continue on an ego personality to be more aware of not saying good or bad, and I was guided to start saying something could be life-enhancing or fulfilling. So we want to be aware not to create the duality anymore, the polarity, because as we're ascending, we're moving beyond the polarity plane. So just like what you're saying, Kemet Prince, you know, and I had to learn this. So if we can say somebody perhaps isn't aware on this dimension or awake or maybe they're ignorant on this dimension, but if we don't put that qualifier in, what we're doing is we're creating the polarity plane again. We're creating the duality of good and bad and evil. So we really have to, if we're going to ascend, well, we're ascending anyway, but to help the ascension is we have to really, as you were saying, Evolution, we have to shift the language to either include both polarities within what we're saying by saying either, you know, or and something. You know, we want to be aware not to say this or that.
I want to give everyone a task, you know, a little task, see if they can do it. Try not to use the word I, my, or me for one day and see if you can do it. Mm. You know, it's very difficult because those three words, you know, we've incorporated into every bit of our lives. So I, my, and me, see if you can not use those words for one day. You know, and the
I would
thing
add
is, it's
on
like,
that and say replace it with the word we. Every time you
I
or my or me.
If someone says, okay, you know, this is my life, okay, let's just analyze that. Because the thing is, you know, there's life, and then if you say my life, that automatically places you outside of life. So the thing is, there's a division. You see what I mean? There's no my life. It's just life. You see what I mean? So the thing is, mm-hmm. I mean, I think for me, that's the hardest thing I'm even trying to do now, you know, is to remove these words, because the thing is, you know, that's the division in itself.
I thank you for bringing it back up and bringing it back to what Kemet Prince was saying earlier with the way that I guess I've applied repairing that separation illusion is seeing things just as a child does. Like you said, a child just sees. You could take, for example, the use of an energetic placement, like say, the use of the planet Pluto. Well, the planet Pluto functions in a specific way. It can either be used constructively to assist one in a specific goal, or it can be used destructively to assist the ego in fulfilling its base-level desires. So the energy has two paths that can be chosen, but the function is one. The function will always be one. The choice to choose between using it one way or another is ours. And I think that my biggest qualm right now, or uncomfortability I have, is in having conversations about God and people personifying God. The personification of God is, I think, at the root of our illusion of separation right now. If we can begin something as simple as not saying, oh, the God outside of me, he or she will do whatever A, B, or C, or D. He, she won't do nothing because it's not
it's the Messiah complex, isn't it?
Well,
it's the Messiah
trying
complex.
It's trying to resynthesize. Exactly.
We're the message we've been waiting for. We're the messenger.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
We're both. We are the God outside of ourselves and in ourselves. So
but
we
also,
are the Messiah.
I just,
the Messiah exists. You know, but in our very language, us saying or purporting that this God entity is outside of us in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, I always say, you know, people have to be very careful with words because the thing is, like, if someone says you're a god or you're a goddess, what does that really mean? You see, the thing is, I always say, you know, man is part of, you know, the web of life, but he didn't weave it. So the thing is, you're a god, but are you the creator? You see what I mean? And the thing is, if you look in actually the history, you know, the gods were basically, you know, men-made gods. You see what I'm trying to say? Because the thing is, they wanted to be worshipped. You see, that's not the creator. You know, and the thing is, what people have to understand is that if you're a god, for me, that all that means is just expressing a divinity. You know, something divine.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that you're. It does not mean that you know you're the creator and you know you're responsible for everything. Because the thing is, I mean, if you're looking at the creator, I mean, it's so vast. You see what I mean? So the thing is, for me, all about, you know, the word God and all these, you know, people have to be kept. Similar with the word truth and love. All these are words, you know, that people get trapped in. Because the thing is, they're just words at the end of the day. And
the concept of God going back to, you know, when people started to personify and create images, et cetera, of something to worship, it is a reflection of the physical form and the spirit combined into one. Mythology is high science. That's it. We can find the same variables and movements within nature that we find within humanity. And that is the God mind working simultaneously.
Definitely.
So there's no reason, I feel there's no reason to deny that aspect of ourselves. In fact, we need to embrace it 100-fold. In the fact that we no longer speak of a God or something outside of ourselves, but begin to re-relate, as with, you know, past mythology, the science of energy being within matter and without matter.
I mean, you know, it brings me back to that, you know, that saying, you know, God is at home, it's us that's gone for a walk. You know, I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. I mean, the source is always there. You have to be connected to it. Once you're connected to it, you are the source. You know, you are the spring that you want to drink from, you know, once you're connected to it, you know. So I definitely, you know, I definitely can hear what you're saying, you know, definitely.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call and having the conversation with me. It's been a blessing.
That's great.
I'm going to continue to listen.
Okay. Well, you bring a wonderful energy and awareness, so thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, a reflection of you, we're a reflection of each other. we're each other giving each other our own point of view.
You know, I look at your picture all the time whenever I do come onto the show, and it's my real name is Amber, and it's my favorite color. You look like me. I mean, your skin tone looks like me, whatever that color is on top of it, and I just say, yes, we are a reflection of each other.
Beyond the physical into the vibrational. We're all vibing each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
The signature sound speaking to each other. Mm-hmm. All right, Amber, cool.
So I will stay on hold if you don't mind.
Okay. I'm going to mute in case there's noise. Put that little hand up, though. That gets my attention for the... Yeah, and that's a good point. If people want to call in and chat, we'd love it, or questions. And apparently from Kathy, who's normally in the chat, if you press 1, the little hand goes up, and I know that on the switchboard. And I know, I love what we're talking about with the languaging, too, to just be very aware of the language. I don't know how you feel about this, Kemet Prince, but I tend to look at derivations and the etymology of language.
I mean, I think that's so important. I mean, I made a video recently, and I was going into a bit of that, and I was saying, like, how the English language, you know, I mean, it has a lot of, I don't know what to call them, you know, but, I mean, once you actually study the language, you can actually see a lot of the words are backwards, you know. So if you tell someone good morning, you know, what you're actually saying is good sadness, you know, because the word sadness has always implied a time of mourning. But the thing is, I mean, it's so deep on so many levels. And the thing is, you know, English actually moves from left to right, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, the brain, the active direction of the brain is from right to left, you know. So the thing is, I mean, there's so many levels to this, but I always say that for me, the only music is music. Sorry, the only language is music, you know, because for me, that's the universal language. So, you know, you think sometimes in the language, but I'm trying to think in sound, because for me, sound is the only universal truth.
Mm. Well, you know, evolution's on fire. She put something in the chat I have to repeat. To expand upon language, word creates form. Yes, out of vibration comes form.
Right? Oh, definitely.
So was the word, and the word was law, which was law or Lord, was the universal laws. To either support or imprison. Yes, the throat chakra is associated with Saturn, form, and Mercury, communication. Yes, yeah. You know, and they're all different. They're all different ways of looking at the same thing. That pranic energy, which I term God, is that life force energy, or that the all that is, the all, the inspirar, the inspiration, the breath, which leaves the body when we, when the physical is no longer a vessel. No longer needed. So, you know, what's interesting, what you were saying, Kemet Prince, about music. We had, I think it was last week or the week before, we had sound healer and scientist Jill Peirce, Shmer de Rupert Sheldrake, who's also going to be on the program at some point. They're from your neck of the woods in England.
Okay, that's good.
And amazing. She was explaining that. Well, she does overtone chanting, the toning, the Tuvian chant, which is amazing. I mean, it's got these whistles. It's very extraterrestrial. But she, just like you, she was saying that actually the music that we listen to now is out of tune.
Oh, definitely it is.
Yes, because someplace in the 18th century, I guess back in during the classical times, a change was made. And with the instrumentation.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was actually, you see, music is measured, vibration is measured in hertz, you see.
Mm-hmm.
One hertz is one vibration per second, you see. So the thing is, up until 1939, up until 1939 in Berlin, the international hertz frequency for music on all musical tuners was 432 hertz. You know, that's what all concerts used to use. It was actually in Germany that they changed it. Only they moved it up 8 hertz, so it went to 440 hertz per second. So the thing is, you see, 432 is a very symbolic number.
What is that about? Why do you think they changed it?
Well, I think they changed it for an obvious reason, because the thing is, it was used as a form of mind control. If you actually, if anyone of you play the guitar or you have a guitar tuner, you know, all the guitar tuners are set to 440 hertz. So the thing is, it doesn't matter if you buy the best guitar in the world, when you tune it, it's going to be tuned to 440 hertz. A few tuners you can actually buy, you can actually move the hertz up and down. So like me, I've got a guitar and I tuned it down to 432 hertz and 440, and you can hear a perceivable difference. And it's amazing, because the thing is, 442 is a lot calmer for you. That's what I found anyway, because the thing is, when you actually listen to it, it's a lot less, it's more subtle, you know, it's a lot less invasive, you know. And the thing is, people have to realize that everything is sound. It's not even just about the music. You know, I always say that, you know, for people that use a microwave, for example, you know, that's like one of the most powerful musical instruments. And that's why if you eat the food, basically, people don't understand that a microwave is a musical instrument, because basically it vibrates the food at, let's say, 2.4 megahertz. That's what, like 2.4 million vibrations per second. So basically all that water in the food is vibrating so fast, so basically all the enzymes get denatured around and you get something totally different. I don't even know what it's going to be. So the thing is, people have to understand that everything is vibration, everything is sound.
Yeah.
So it's like if you use a cooker to heat some food, that might be about 25,000 hertz. So compare 25,000 hertz to 2.4 million vibrations per second.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mystic Light is putting something in the chat about, isn't the vibration or sound everybody a little different? Yeah, that's, everyone has their signature vibration or signature sound or piece. And it fits into the universal or global sound of Om or Aum, which has all the resonating notes. This is great. We're talking about this, Kemet Prince, because I've been wanting to go more in this direction. So,
yeah, I mean, one other interesting thing I found out was that, you know, well, I didn't just find out, but I mean, people have to understand how powerful the voice is. You know,
yes.
Because the thing is, the voice can manipulate matter. Sound manipulates
yes,
matter.
We do.
You know, cymatics, the study of waves.
Cymatics.
You know, so people have to understand that, you know. I'll give you an example. If when a man sees a woman or when a woman sees a man, okay, they might like their appearance, but what actually attracts them is the voice, because it's the
yeah.
voice that molds the matter. You
yes.
see, so the thing is, there's so much power in the voice, and there's even more power in intention. You see what I mean? So the
yeah.
thing is,
it's
like people have to understand the power of sound, really.
Yeah. Well, in this, I'm really, you know, I called this in. So I called you in because I've been, I guess for the last year or so, been sharing this. And I do a lot of work with, working with energy or emotional repatterning. And the next wave, the next phase, and that we all need to be diving into. So this is just so amazingly synchronistic and apropos, is to move into the space, like you're saying, that everything is vibration. And that that even the thought form, the energy comes from a vibration. So if we begin to not only realize and recognize, but live our vibrational frequency, we're more in concert or more in tune with the all that is. And what I'm finding, even larger scope than that, is that which people have been trying to change or make better, whether within themselves or within a situation. When you're using sound, you go beyond the mind. You actually come back in the mind to process it. But it's easier to shift patterns by going to the original source, which is the sound, which is vibration.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, people have to realize how important sound is, because the thing is, when you use sound, you're basically using something from the creator. You see, man made language, but who made sound? You know, that's the important
yeah.
thing. You see what I'm trying to say?
Well, language
and the thing is
a thought form. Language is it's language and behavior is very late on the chain. It's now you're in the world of form. The first form is actually is vibration. That's the first creation.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I always say that, you know, a sound produces a pattern, you know, which
yes.
produces a form, which produces
yes.
a picture. You see,
yeah.
and the thing is, a picture produces a form, which produces a pattern, which produces a sound. So the thing is, that's why if you look at a picture, if you're an artist and you look at a picture, it's almost like it's sound. You see what I'm trying? It's like a musical piece for you. And the thing is,
yeah.
it's the same with colors as well. Colors are sounds. Everything is sound, because everything is vibration.
You know, and see, now this, even though this sounds kind of like surface stuff, but this stuff is like, in the Hermetic philosophy or even in the Kabbalah, this is like more the advanced work that is done with mathematical equations that break down into formations of sound and vibration that create the universe or the name of the universe. There's even toning forks for this to help shift, as you were saying, Kemet Prince, matter. Well, you know, it's so cool to, I was doing this, I teach meditation for spiritual unfoldment in Agape Spiritual Center here in the LA area, and we were doing a meditation on this with sound, with our signature vibrational frequency, with toning people's names. You can actually, if you call it locating, shamanically, you call it locating somebody. So if you sit in front of, and you don't have to do it, we will do it on the air, why not? But you locate that person. I invite all of you, you know, if you have somebody with you or whatever, you just, if you really get present to someone, and so you're seeing beyond whatever, beyond name, skin color, hair, how they look, whatever, you just locate them within the eyes, because that's the, in the heart area, the connection to the soul, you just relax into that person and you let them speak their name, and then you tone their name back to them. Now, I've been doing this for many years, and I will tell you, out of every class that I've had, every class tone, they don't know this, they tone my name the same, and people have said, you have different, you have many notes or tones within your vibrational frequency, and I happen to. Some people don't. Some people are more A or C or C minor or whatever. Some people are one or two or maybe one tone, and then some are many. And you can have, like last night we had another Michelle in the class, and when they toned her name, it was completely different than how they toned my name.
Wow. I mean, I always say these aren't our real names, and the thing is, in the beginning, there's only sound. So the thing is, it's sort of like people don't realize how much power is in a name.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is, when you call someone's name, you bestow power on them. You know, and that's why, you know, if someone calls you a name, you know, that's why people always used to change their name, because the thing is, name is a vibration. You know, but also, more, you know, name is very powerful, you know. So the thing is, it's sort of like, you know, people, you know, you just have to ask questions, really. I mean, that's what I'm doing all the time, you know, asking more questions, because there's only questions in this dimension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every time you do get an answer, there's another question.
Oh, there's another question, you know. I mean, the thing is, I mean, it's sort of like I always say, you know, life isn't a problem to be solved, you know, it's an experience to be lived. You know, everybody's trying to crack the code, and they realize there's nothing to crack, you know, because the thing is, there's actually nothing wrong with this, nothing actually wrong with how we're living now. It's just that, you know, people have always wanting to, we want to change things because we're conscious of ourselves. You see what I'm trying to say? We look in the mirror and we know who we are. So the thing is, we want to become something else.
Mm.
You know, because the thing is, it's sort of like we're never satisfied. You know, it's sort of like if I gave you the whole world, you would never be satisfied. You know, that's where we're at the moment. You know, we have all these luxuries. We've got the iPod. We've got the computer. We've got the Mercedes-Benz. We've got everything we want, but there's still something missing. What do we want? We don't even know. You know,
well,
I mean,
and
the
that's
thing
part
is,
of the that's part of what we're doing here, though, is we are living out those questions or wanting more. But wait, maybe Kemet Prince, part of it, it's more what people began to see more things. But maybe it's more love, more light, more fulfillment, more understanding, more still. You know, the more I feel part of. I don't want to get your take on this, but I feel part of this evolutionary process or individual and collective initiation is that the decoding, the breaking open the code that's happening is that we became, and I don't say we as you know, the fringe part of us, the small part of us that has been living differently. I'm talking about within our systems and within our society. We became too limiting, only focusing on form.
Oh, definitely.
And, right, and breaking out of that, that it's not only about that which is in form, which is important, but also the formlessness, or as you said earlier, the void, and evolution said the darkness, the prima materia.
But that's the thing, because we're all moving in, well, most, some people, I wouldn't say we all are, but I think a few people who are awakening, you know, they're moving into the fourth and fifth dimension. Because of that, you know, things are collapsing, you know, the physical is collapsing. So that means, you know, when people go to work, they can't be there because the thing is they're living in another dimension. So they feel like a ghost almost, Because the thing is, they can't actually resonate with anyone they're talking to if you're not on that frequency. You know, like birds of the same feather flock together. So it's sort of like a lot of people are finding very, very hard. Once you have all this information, it's sort of like, okay, how am I going to live in this matrix? You know,
yeah.
Because the thing is, if you look in nature, everything resonates with its counterpart. You see, eagles all fly with the same type of eagle. Owls move with owls.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it's sort of like, because there's a resonance there, but within this this world we're living in, there's so many different frequencies around, so you have to find ones that connect with you. But that's, you know, that's also another labyrinth in itself.
Yeah. That brings in that law of resonance. That's what's, and you know what's interesting, law of resonance doesn't mean necessarily like-minded or agreeing. It just is a complementary or resonating frequency.
Oh my gosh, you just
Wait,
said
that.
Yeah,
I
was
going to
say complementary. Yeah, you're like, yeah, that's what
I
was just thinking.
I had, Kevin, for
yeah.
you appreciate, I was thinking years and years ago, I was like, oh, cool, we're all like-minded individuals. And then you start living the law of resonance, and you're like, oh, it's complementary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's complementary, you know. It's and then someone had put, I think it was Evolution in the chat, about where does form come from. Well, it's birth itself. We're birthing ourselves. Form is a natural product or byproduct from the vibration.
Oh, definitely. If I always say sometimes it's sort of like how I see things. It's the slower you vibrate, the more form you produce. You see, I
yeah.
mean, once it's
yeah.
sort of like if you eat a lot of junk food, you find yourself very sluggish. You're vibrating very slowly. You see, the thing is, if you don't, you know, if you're careful with what you eat, you're vibrating so high that, you know, you've got all this energy. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
a paradox there. So the thing is, it's sort of like, you know, disease cannot live in a body that's moving too fast. You know, bacteria can't survive. It needs time. It needs a slow vibrational body. You see what I mean? So I think that's the whole crux of the situation. It's sort of like people have to realize that thought is a slow vibration, because the thing is, anything that you think about, you have to take time to do it. You see, it's sort of like when you're living in the moment, there's no time for thought. You're just doing what... That's why when I say a child just sees, because the thing is, a child isn't thinking in its true state. You know, it's just seeing. So the thing is, it's just seeing a car moving. It's not saying, okay, that's a Bentley. You know, it's just seeing. You know, there's no reaction, because the thing is, when you're thinking about a person, you're actually having a reaction. Oh, I don't like this person. That's what it is, because the thing is, all of us are so insecure about, not all of us, I shouldn't say, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, are almost, we want acceptance. You know, a lot of people, I always say, people aren't afraid of death. You know, we're afraid of other people, because the thing is, we're collective consciousness. So the thing is, of course we want to be accepted, because there is only one body. So of course, the body wants to actually align itself together. You see, but through the one consciousness, there is individualism, but at the same time, we all are a collective body. So the thing is, naturally, we want to be accepted by our family, our friends, because we all are connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's getting comfortable with that, again. And again, that's the and. We're individuated aspects, or individual and collective. We're, you know, individuated consciousness, but actually, we're both. We're both male and female. We're both feminine and masculine, and it's expressing that or living that out more. Okay, Evolution is on the air again.
Also, two quick things. I always say that, you know, I'm trying to lose my mind and come to my senses, you know. Because I always say, you know, what the heart already knows, the brain can only dream about. I always say all this, sometimes a lot of your listeners, you know, will be inundated with so much information, and they're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to know these things? Your heart already knows these things. That's what I believe. Because the thing is, it's sort of like the heart knows everything, you see. It's the brain that has to think about things. So the thing is, it's sort of like you are in your DNA, everything is written for what you need to know. You know, the whole cosmos is written inside of you. You know, it's just that people have to be patient. You know, you have to actually you know, kill the fear of time, because time itself is an illusion. So you have to say, okay, I'll go at my own pace. You know, there's no end of the world, you know, because the thing is, when you, people talk about the idea of the end of the world, that only makes the concept of the world stronger. You know, it only makes it more physical.
Yes. Well, and yeah, and to say that, to go at our own pace and pattern, that's our signature frequency. It's our internal, our inner time, our inner rhythm. This part
of this
individual and collective awakening is to realize and recognize your own individuated pattern and frequency, and to live from that space. We have Amber back on line two.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, up a little bit.
Okay.
The volume to get up.
Let me do this. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. I think that was very well said. The heart already knows what the mind can dream of. That's a really great guiding statement. I'm going to adopt that one because, you know, it's the mind that we're trying to now resynthesize and reconnect with the heart. But just in response to what I put in the chat room about the polarity, and you guys already started talking about it with the, you know, the synthesis of the masculine and the feminine, and I think why we're experiencing or viewing such inner war, both, you know, within ourselves and, you know, within the macro, you know, the larger whole. Because that form, as you said, form is created from the formlessness. And the form we're pegging as a masculine quality, and the formlessness, the unseen, being the feminine quality. And re-accepting that inner rhythm, you know, I guess I've come in contact with so many men in my life, and, you know, through dating, and they're warring with their inner feminine. And I come along and I reflect that to them, and they eventually begin to war with me, you know. And it's because it's been taught, you know, that the structure and the form has illustrated a specific way of being and reverberated a specific way of being, and that is fragmented and suppression or denial of the feminine.
Oh, I 100% agree with you, because it's funny, because, I mean, I always say, you know, we're living in a survival prison planet. So the thing is, it's sort of, that's what the masculine does. The masculine survives. The feminine is being. You see what I'm trying to say? It's being.
Right.
So the thing is, the feminine energy is very innocent. It's very subtle. It's very nonchalant. You see what I mean?
I can't contain myself, Kemet Prince. I have to jump in here because having studied goddess religions, and I totally came from that framework, but we're rebalancing out because we were a matriarchal society in the time of Babylonia and Samaria, and what happened was, believe it or not, the women the at that time misused power just like the men have done in the patriarchal, because the women gave birth, so they were seen as the advanced beings, because we didn't know about the sperm, you know, the seed. And the women developed language, so the men were actually enslaved. And there's a wonderful book on that, When God Was a Woman. And another one, Woman as Merlin, the magician energy. So I think, in a sense, we're coming from this collective rebalancing where what happened is once man knew that they had the seed together with the brawn, the strength, became subjugated women. And so then we went in this whole other direction called patriarchy. So we came as a matriarchal society. We moved into patriarchy. And now, I don't know what the term is going to be, but we're coming into this. Hopefully,
To add on to that, you know, this has been an oscillation of polarity for a very long time. You know, those are two glimpses in the past. Two glimpses in the past. But we've been oscillating back and forth and dominant. Hierarchy is our problem.
Million.
One cannot be over the other, whether it's the female or the male.
I always look at, you know, basically, you know, everything is everything. So the thing is, you know, you are a representation of the feminine energy, but you also are connected to the masculine energy because you are everything.
Very much.
So the thing is, it's sort of like people have to find the polarity within themselves, and that's what true love is about. It's finding your higher nature, and when you do that, a child is produced, which is the consciousness which is born.
And that's the ascension of the Holy Grail, is that rising above into that oneness within us, into that expanded consciousness beyond the polarity plane.
Right.
Oh, definitely. You know, and I think it's so difficult, but you know, because everybody's
But it's through
looking...
the polarity plane that we access it. It is through the nature.
Absolutely.
It is through seeing the cohesive balance of masculine plants and feminine plants.
I think this brings up what you said earlier, Amber, and Kimmet Prince mentioned also. It's in the languaging. See, if we go back to derivations of words or etymology, we find, like for instance, if you study the Bible, for instance, metaphysically, and go back to the derivation as close as you can, let's say to the Aramaic, that fear the Lord had nothing to do with a man or fear. It was misinterpretation. It was respect the law, and the law was the law of the universe. So the language, you know, through the ages, and also to misinterpret on purpose in a way, and, you know, misuse power, as you had said earlier, can be used to imprison, you know, or free, or, you know, awaken and enlighten, or to dummy down, you know, in a sense. Because we have it all here. It's just there's been some misinterpretation, misinformation that perpetuates what a polarity plane even is. That if we move out of opposition into complement, the complementary, then you have, like you said, the we.
The we.
I love what you said, the we.
Which is the one.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
That's just me. It's okay to have a me, but we have a we also. There's a me we.
There is no we without a me. There is no we without a me. And I think it was on your show a couple of weeks ago that someone was talking about the Aquarian age. It takes the Leonian resonance of I am.
The Leo Aquarius access.
Yeah.
Yes.
In order to, you know, in order to enter into that stream of collective consciousness, every entity must rise to their own vibratory maximum, so to speak. You know, every entity must shine forth. Otherwise, there's no collective force to match with the collective force. Mm-hmm. You know, so we, you know, and I guess that's where, you know, the ego, it's that's the restructuring of its use, because you still have to know who you are. In order to
Wait, could you repeat? I got a dog on the trip here. What did you say? Say it again, Amber. It's a restructuring the use of the ego.
Restructuring the use of the ego. And you know what I compare it to? Remember in the Midwest in the United States a few weeks ago when the Red River was flooding?
Mm-hmm.
And you had all of the townspeople coming out. Hundreds of thousands of people, volunteers, rebuilding the structure and the bank after it had been knocked down by the feminine force or the water.
Wow.
You know, which is the masculine feminine because it's Oshun, if you want to get into the mythology of it, but it's the warrior princess, right? And she overflowed, and all of a sudden everybody was called to action to restructure the boundaries and the foundations so that the river can flow properly. And that's what we're being called to do. Every entity must rise. Every person's heart. You know, you must know who you are. And there's enough space.
Definitely.
There's enough space to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but I always say, you know, nothing is permanent and it's forever changing. You know, for the creator is change. So the thing is, people have to be aware that, you know, just as we ascend, we can also descend at any moment because, you know, that's the nature of this dimension. Everything is forever changing. So, I mean, if we get balanced, we can get imbalanced again, you see. I mean, the thing is, it's sort of like people have to have constant awareness because, you know, once you're aware of your own ignorance, I mean, they're saying, what is wisdom? You know, wisdom is the true extent of one's own ignorance, you know, the acknowledgement of it. You know, you have to realize, you know, how ignorant you are, then you can at least come into alignment. It's not about saying, oh, okay, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. No, it's about knowing your ignorance, because there is only ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's that saying? The price of freedom is constant awareness. The more, it's interesting, the more relaxed we are, the more we're in the flow or the Tao of life, the more aware we are. And God is it. God is, you know, God is evolving. You know, we're evolving.
Yeah.
And we
metaphysically... Because the thing is, it's sort of, back to women, I mean, it's sort of like how I see it coming from a male view, but I don't like to say male view because I'm everything. You know, I'm the feminine, I'm the masculine. You know, I'm totality. So
yes.
It's sort of
come
like...
Come from that space. Come from the total.
I'm totality. You know, it's sort of like, you know, for me, as I see women globally, it's almost like as if, you know, they haven't actually acknowledged the power of themselves. It's got nothing to do with the masculine energy. It's all about
right.
women not trying to satisfy men and satisfy yourself.
Oh, no. I
you know,
can't.
Stop,
thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, no.
You know,
oh, no.
Stop. Because the thing is, it's sort of like, you know, once you understand the power of your womb, then you would realize how much power you have. It's not about it's good about looking good, but...
It's been a different game, believe me. It's just been a different game of how to express that power.
Okay,
that is shifting. Yeah, a lot of people think that. The women, if they step up or women feel empowered. Now, it's been a different game. Believe me, there's been plenty of us that have fully known our power, our empowerment. And I'm sure on the other side, too, if we're going to talk, you know, gender, you know, it's just a different way of using it. And I love, you know, to tap into that word that, you know, Barack has been using a lot, transparency, which is a function of actually Aquarius being able to really see, having that discernment. Is that what's going to happen is that people are going to be expressing their empowerment in less and less and less manipulating ways as people are becoming more not only intuitive but psychic and telepathic. When you really got somebody or where they're at, you're not going to be manipulating and hoping they're a certain way or hoping it's a certain type of relationship. You're just going to see what is. You're going to be living in that meditative state that you're aware of what is, and you're living from that space of what is, not what we want it to be. So as that's happening, you'll see people expressing their power in different ways. It won't be power over or feeling underpowered.
Oh,
you know, we're busting the victim code. Did the victim code be coded?
Yeah. Just to piggyback on what Brother Commit was saying, you know, I think there is an element, like there's a change in the tide right now, especially with regard to how young women are trying to view their power and you know, reflect or present themselves in society. And, it is kind of coming back to understanding your power but not using it over, because women are still falling prey to the mold being set before them of sexual prowess, of using their power in the most mundane and base level form of existence.
Yeah.
And
that's what I mean. Because it's sort of like once you become aware of yourself, that's where the innocence is gone, because the thing is, it's sort of like I was going back, you know, to the true feminine energy. It's so nonchalant. It's unaware of itself. You see what I'm trying to say? So the thing is, it's not about I'm trying to do this. It doesn't even know what it is. You know, that's the innocent beauty of it. You know, but these days it's sort of like a lot of, it's not just women, it's men too. You know, we all want to try and put on a certain persona. And we're so aware of ourselves that the beauty is lost.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah. So just to add to that, I'm one of those women who is forcibly, and with the help of all the women who have preceded me, restructuring the framework of beauty and power and consciousness as a young woman of 26 in America and, you know, wherever else in the world that I may reach. But it's going to, you know, it's going to take... You know, we definitely know we got to get the women on board, and it's kind of up to the women, because women can be the most cruel and vindictive to each other with the use of the patriarchal sword. Speaking of, you know, the energies being one, you know, we're misusing masculine power within a feminine form, just as some men who walk around, I'm going to kill everything in sight. That's kundalini, feminine power, being misused within a masculine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
Okay, so the polarity is there. The two are always there. It is just for us to resynthesize and rebalance. And
well, it's the creator and the destroyer part of us, right? We all have that part to create, forms and destroy, you know?
That's right.
The destruction or the transformation.
Yeah. And the rebirthing tool is really, I mean, the reason it's so important and pertinent for women to step up to their place of strong innocence, because, you know, I love the way you put it, Kimmet Prince, you know, even though there is a great power in the feminine, the true femininity is not very boastful. Unconditional love is not proud. It's simply
Well, you know what
is.
It's called in the I Ching and the Tao? It's called the receptive. And
the
it's
receptive.
The magnetic. That's why I also share with people, you know, that wanting to manifest or draw in, their work, their, people are so focused on the law of magnetic attraction. You can't focus on the law of magnetic attraction. It's magnetic. You have to be receptive.
It's magnetic.
That's magnetic.
You know what I use when people are having the issues and the fights? No, I'm not a submissive woman. You know, just replace the word submissive with magnetized. Okay? Mm-hmm. It means I do like to stay at home and pull all the energies in because that's what I'm good at. And it's in that space that I'm most creative, that I sing all day around the house, that I plan.
I mean, I always say, you know, you get who you deserve, you know, because the thing is, you are who you are today because of choices which have been made by you. You see, we're making choices all the time. So the thing is, you are where you are by divine, by divine providence, basically. So, you know, you get who you end up who you are because you needed them. You see what I'm trying to say, for your evolution. So the thing is, it's sort of like if you're in a relationship, that person is your teacher. And the thing is, it's sort of like you learn from them, and when you don't need them, you move on to another teacher until you learn from yourself. And then when you become, once you know yourself and another person knows themselves, then you can love without non-judgment.
Now, what are some, do you think, some spiritual tools when people are going through this, Kemet Prince? What do you find that can be helpful at this time for people, and what helps you?
In what regard?
Well, like, in this time of, you know, the individual and collective initiation, what do you find is helpful at this time of transition?
I would say the most helpful thing, you know, is basically emptying out all you know, and basically saying, I don't know. And then by doing that, you open yourself up to anything. You know, that's when you really say anything is possible. I mean, a lot of people, you know, they have so much information that they're becoming so full, they're going to explode. You know, because the thing is, you know, they're just hoarding. You know, my view of things is to be the subtractor. What I'm trying to do is basically take away as much as I can to get back to the essence instead of adding on.
I like that. So in a sense, you're becoming consciously more magnetic.
Oh yeah. I mean, for me, I'm just trying to observe without judgment. It's so hard not to do. But the thing is, it's sort of like a lot of people don't remember when they were young as a child, because the thing is, they're in a whole totally different perception now. You know, as an adult, it's sort of like your mind has been programmed. That's why they call you an adult, because you've been adulterated. You know, so the thing is sort of like to go back to a child where there was less programs in you is very difficult to do, because people have to get rid of these programs. You know, people, that's why when you meet someone, you don't even know what type of program they've installed. You see what I'm trying to say? That's why there's so much conflict, because we're always, you know, the brain is a downloader and uploader. You know, it's just basically like a computer.
It's a computer.
You know, yeah.
But that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. As people become connected with their sixth sense, becoming more intuitive and expanding to become more psychic, which means coming from the psyche or soul, becoming more telepathic, you will know somebody's program, and you won't insert yourself into that trip or that game or that program. See, part of what a lot of what we have here.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Right,
I
the inner. We insert ourselves into. That's what karma is about. We insert ourselves into oh, this must be me, you know, me, or this is happening because of me, or they don't like me because of this, or they like me because of that. But when you can begin to see one's their programming as well as their true nature, you begin to see how you want to engage them, you know, meeting them at their level, you know.
Yeah.
Then you have less conflict. But you know what I like what you're saying, Kemet Prince, is that emptying, because it does take being in that emptied state to be able to see, to move out of projection into perception, to see that person clearly. Or that situation.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I always say there's three things. You know, there's the known, the unknown, and the unknowable. You see, everybody's trying to know something. And there's the unknown, and there's what you would never, ever know. Once you come to that state, then you realize, okay, let me just go along this journey in life and just be open. You know, once you're open, anything can come in. You know, you're basically infinite. You know, because that's what the creator is, infinite expansion. So the thing is, you're always growing. But a lot of people want to say, okay, this is life. You know, they want to sum up life in a 5-minute conclusion. You know, and they don't. You know, we need to realize the immensity of life and realize that, you know, the measurable can never measure the immeasurable.
Yeah, that's it. The unknowable. That's and the immeasurable. We are that too, but it's the individuating out is an attempt in a way. It's a natural extension of, or organic extension of that process of wanting to know oneself. But as you say, it only goes so far because of what we're measuring.
I mean,
I always say
everything is a relationship. You can only know yourself through a relationship. That's why relationships are so important. That's why everything is based on relationships. People go
but
to work to find a lover.
But
with yourself. But what I'm trying to say, with another person, because we're social beings, you see. I mean, it's very rare in nature you see things isolated. You see what I mean? Everything moves with something else in resonance. You know, that's the power of the collective. So the thing is, it's sort of like three of us are talking now and there's energy. There's more energy here than if you were talking with yourself. You see what I'm trying to say? Because that's the power of the collective. You know, and the thing is, people have to really realize how important resonance is. Because the thing is, I always say, sing your song, and if someone sings with you, then sing along. You know, that's all, you know, that's all you need to know, you know. Because the thing is, I always say there's somebody, you know, somebody on a similar, you know, frequency to you. It's just very difficult, you know, in this maze to find them.
Mm-hmm. And really what we're saying, it's that moving beyond the limitation of we're moving into that living that out, that I am that I am, and moving out of that personal I. Whether it's a race consciousness, you know, cultural, you know, even gender to a certain degree, that Aquarius is very amorphic. You know, it contains the complement within it so completely, and there's more wholeness there. Amber just put a wonderful heart in the chat room, and I can feel it. I can feel the heart energy.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, with this Aquarius energy, you know, basically, you know, the water bearer, you know, it's sort of like water is being poured in our mouths now. We have to drink because it's been a long time. We haven't had a drink. We're thirsty. You know, so the thing is, it's sort of like this spring that's flowing with so much information now, you know, it's sort of like it's overwhelming at times. That's why people have to remain, you know, like they don't know anything, you know, because the thing is, once you say, I know, that's when you stop. That's when the doors close. Mm-hmm. Once you keep the door open, then it's sort of like infinite expansion.
Mm-hmm. So you really, it's interesting, you go back to this openness. I like that. I think that's a wonderful place for people to shift to, that emptying and that openness, which to me, I equate that with that meditative state. That's the truth of who we are, that, you know, animal beings, little kids before they're enculturated or, you know, programmed, are just, oh, they just show up as is. They don't show up as a certain thing or a certain person. They just are. They just show up with that receptivity.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so, you know, people have to, I always say, you know, that you don't know how old you are. You know, I mean, when you dream, you know, you might wake up the next morning, but you don't know where you've gone and how long you've been there. So it's sort of like you might come back and you might have been in your dream state for 2 years and come back. So what I mean is it's so complex that, you know, we don't really know where we all are in vibration. You know, because the thing is, it's sort of like every day is different, because the thing is, it's sort of like we're traveling to so many different places within our dream state, and we're coming back as totally different people.
Mm-hmm.
Or some
and
people
see,
stay
I
in their
see
dream
that,
state.
I see this, that this reality being integrated, a more expansive reality integrated into the mainstream, and even in the educational systems that will be just less limited. Kemet Prince, I'm just going to check in on line three and see if someone's just listening or if they
okay.
have a question. Hi, 310-480, you're on air with Awakenings. Did you have a question or a comment for Kemet Prince?
No, it's just Lynn. Lots of love to you. And I can't get the sound on my computer, so I'm listening.
Oh, good, good. Well, lots of love to you. I just wanted to hear your voice.
Beautiful.
I just wanted to hear your vibration.
The power of the voice.
That's right.
Yes. I'm owning that.
Yeah, good. Mm. Yep, good. Drink it up. Drink it up. So one of the things that you're saying, Kemet Prince, that you can do spiritually to be balanced during these times is to empty. You're saying that is...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying to subtract, you know, to basically to empty the mind, which is full of so many things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically because everybody wants to accumulate, and that's probably what got us in this problem in the first place.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, it's sort of like, you know, a cup is only useful when it's empty, but instead, you know, we filled it to the brim and no more will go in. That's why people, you know, we're on overload, basically. You know, it's sort of like a system failure, because the thing is, it's sort of like we haven't allowed the space within ourselves to remain open, you know, to the possibilities of anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the one thing, and I want, because we're winding out of time, but what you said earlier about knowing if the information is actually even right, if it's misinformation, because unfortunately we've had a game on this planet, in this society, and I mean the global society, that if people are selling a lot of books or a lot of people know of someone, then it must be true, or they're on TV, that it must be true.
Yeah.
In fact,
the
consensus reality. And the thing is, you have to go beyond that. I mean, I saw the pitfall of this LOA, law of magnetic attraction, and the way that it was approached. And believe me, I deal with a lot of clients that, you know, people that are actually really upset because they say that it doesn't work. Well, you can't control or use something that's magnetic. You have to be that. So it's just the languaging and the wording. If it's off, then it's not going to work. And like Kemet Prince is talking about, you have to connect more with the resonance, the law of resonance. How are you resonating? You'll actually manifest. You don't have to even worry about manifesting. That's, we do that all the time. Right?
You don't
have to worry about manifesting.
No, we don't have to. I mean, I always say thoughts are children. We give birth every second. You know, because, you know, we give birth and then we complain about what we've created. We've got to take care of the children. You know, it's sort of like we don't really know what we're creating, you know, because the thing is, there's the visible world and there's the invisible world. You know,
mm-hmm.
So the thing is, it's sort of like we don't even know what we've made, you know, what we've created, what tangle we've got ourselves into, you know. So mm-hmm. The thing is, it's sort of like it's for people. I'm not trying to tell people to do anything. I'm just saying what I do is try to subtract and empty myself, basically, because, you know, that's the only way you can sort of survive in this matrix that we've created, by the way.
That we create, yeah. That's been our game. That's been our game to create this, and now we want to dismantle it to have a you know, it's a little tight for us now. We need a bigger game.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I always say people have to be careful of calling people the Illuminated Ones, because when you call someone an Illuminated One, you're giving them power, because names are vibrations, you see. So the thing is, it's sort of like people have to understand that, you know, they create their own reality, and the thing is, there's nothing outside of yourself. So the thing is, you know, what you fear becomes your God. You know, if people are afraid of all sorts of things, they're giving them their energy. You know, because the thing is, we have this resistance, you know, and the thing is, from my view, is always about dropping the sword. You know, it's about taking the body armor off, basically. And it's about, you know, just surrendering yourself. Because the thing is, everybody's ready to fight. But when you fight something, you give it your energy.
That's right. So we're winding out. That was well put, Kemet Prince. Take back that energy and use it to create. Use it to co-create. release the resistance. We've been speaking with Kemet Prince. You can connect with him on his, it's got an amazing site on YouTube, youtube.com/Kemet Prince. Awareness that you will find there, insight and awareness to mapping through these times of individual and collective initiation and change. Kemet Prince, thanks so much for being on Awakenings. You have a
thank
open
you,
door
thank
policy
you.
Here.
I mean, it was very mystical how we you know, what brought us together. So, I mean, thank you very much. Yeah.
It was great. It was
a
synchronistic
great,
connecting, absolutely.
Definitely,
definitely.
I mean, I love what you're doing, you know, and just peace and blessings, love and light to you. And, you know, basically just keep growing, keep expanding.
I'm just showing up.
Yes.
I just keep showing up, and wherever I go, I just go and show up. And as I'm sure you're, you know, doing the same, getting that expanded pulse.
Definitely.
Right?
Oh, definitely. I'm just trying to stay as open as possible, really, and trying not to have, you know, fixed ways of thinking or feeling.
Yeah. That's it, and that's what I've been getting, just be adaptable and flexible. That's what I've been getting.
Oh, flexible. I mean, I think that's why, you know, all these things like yoga and all these things is to remind people of being flexible, not only physically, but mentally.
Mentally,
you know, so
yeah.
I think when people actually do yoga and all these things, dancing, you know, they should remind themselves that they have to be like the yoga. They have to be flexible, not only in body, but in mind and spirit.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's great to have you here. And again, like I said, definitely you have a open invitation here
to come back and
share. And we'll definitely keep in touch. And all of you listeners, it's so wonderful, as always, to connect with all of you. I love your emails and calling in. It's great. You're making Awakenings what it is. This is a collective here. This is part of that converging flow out of the harmonic convergence. So we've harmonized, and now we've come together to share what we know and what we're experiencing in this wonderful unfolding that we call life. So once again, we've been on air with Kemet Prince. You can reach him at YouTube/Kemet Prince. And until next time, keep awake. And we'll end with a wonderful bit of Golden Sun by Thunderbeat. Suggestion, just remember that you are the messenger, and you're the message you've been waiting to hear. Now go enjoy your day and shine your light and